والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى محمد. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise and glory belongs to Allah, the creator of this universe, the one who out of his mercy and love created his creations for nothing else but the beneficence of the creation. If he wanted anything in return of what he has blessed us with, it is only for our own benefit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not need anything. He does not require the worship of any of his creations. He is the one who provides everything to the creations. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, he has said that it is enough honor for me that I am your slave and you are my Lord. With the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we've been blessed with the knowledge that has been transmitted through the prophets and through the successors of the prophets and through those friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that have strived in the way of Him, so that we as well can say this statement one day, that I am proud to say that I am your slave and that you are my Lord. When we are born into this world, we are born as slaves. When we are born into this world, we are born as slaves. The concept of freedom that is given, in reality, there is no such thing as absolute freedom. The choice that we are given is that you're going to be a slave, but you can decide who your master is going to be. So whether you decide that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be a master, or shaitan is going to be a master, or car is going to be a master, or a house is going to be a master, or wealth is going to be a master, or children are going to be a master, anything that you decide, you can choose who your master is going to be, but you will be a slave. And only in choosing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a master is there a concept of freedom. Or else, the person is a slave of many masters, and a person who is a slave of many masters cannot be a free man at all. But if you become the slave of a master that is free of any need from the slave, then in reality, in turn, you become free. But any other master that we're going to choose, that master is going to require something from us. And no matter what we do, that master is never going to be happy. Because it's not one thing that the master would require, it's infinite number of things that will not satisfy the master's that you and I end up choosing. So if it is wealth, no matter how much wealth we're going to accumulate, there's always this need for more. Right? And, you know, consider if you had $1 billion. Zyada to nahi keh diye. Aaj kal 1 billion itna, koi badi amount nahi hai. Haan. Even if you have $1 billion in your account, your account is going to cry that you should have more. Every time you spend a dime or a nickel or penny, I'm going to adjust myself with the UK pounds that you have, sterlings. So if every time you spend a sterling, the account is going to cry that your billion is becoming less, so you need to build more. So in reality, it becomes a vicious circle for those individuals who take masters as wealth or money, that master is never satisfied. Because every time this master is going to give you something, something's going to come out of that master, so therefore you're going to live all of your life trying to satisfy it. It goes the same for our lowly desires as well. I mean, how much of a control can you have? Right? Hame shauk hota hai ki matlab 10 log hame salam kare chup ke. Bada shauk hota hai. Bachpan se ye shauk pata nahi kahan se aa jata hai. Shayad hota hai ki humne buzurgon ko dekha hota hai ki wo 10 log unke jhuk ke salam karte hain, to hame bhi ye ho jata hai ki hum bhi aise ho jaye taaki 10 log hame bhi jhuk ke salam kare. 10 लोगों ने कर भी लिया झुककर सलाम, तो क्या होता है 20 लोग करें. 20 लोगों ने भी कर लिया, क्या होता है? आप मेरे साथ हैं ना? देखिए 10 से 20 और फिर 40. सो जस्ट टू सी इफ यू आर विद मी एंड यू कैरी ऑन, देयर इज नो एंड टू दैट. इवन द होल वर्ल्ड, इफ यू आर एबल टू कंट्रोल the human need of that lowly desires of controlling human beings will not end there. Occupying, conquering will not end there. If they were to conquer the whole world, this earth, which is the smallest planet in the 280 billion galaxies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, with trillions of planets and stars, the human hunger to control will not end on this small planet. Wants to go and colonize the moon. Wants to go and colonize Mars. And as long as there's a planet and as long as there's a galaxy, human beings are not going to be satisfied until all of the 200 billion galaxies are occupied. And still, their lowly desire, their master is going to say, is there more? Sometimes, the blessings that we have, we confuse them as blessings. Children are a blessing. Yes? Alhamdulillah. Wife is a blessing. If you are not going to say it too loud, the ones especially who are married, right? Because the sisters didn't hear anything. Wife is a blessing, alhamdulillah. Husband is a blessing, alhamdulillah. House is a blessing, car is a blessing, right? In reality, all of these things are blessings if they take you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If your wife is taking you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she's a curse. She's not a blessing. If the husband is taking the wife away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that husband is a curse. If the children are taking the parents away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're no longer a blessing, but they're a curse. If the house takes you close to Allah, is a blessing. Takes you away from Allah, is a curse. So in reality, the definition of a blessing is anything that will take you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a blessing, and anything takes you away is a curse. Right. Is knowledge a blessing? With the same definition given to you, knowledge is only a blessing if it takes you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If it takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that knowledge is not a blessing. With me? There are many scholars who their curse is knowledge. The curse is knowledge. Right? Why? Because knowledge for them did not take them close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if it did not take them close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a curse. Which produced, instead of producing nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it produced arrogance. And anyone who's arrogant is away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if that knowledge happens to be that you gain it in the Hauza Ilmiya of Qum or Najaf. If that knowledge does not take you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a curse. What else is a blessing? Is the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam a blessing? It is? Absolutely, it is. With the same definition. If the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam is taking you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a blessing. But if that love takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not a blessing but a curse. Could there be in its entirety actual love for Ahlul Bayt that does not take you towards Allah? So in reality, if there is love for Ahlul Bayt, if there is, it's an automatic reaction that you get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in reality, if we're not getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by definition of blessing, it definitely is not the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A young man, the Prophet saw, said, "Do you love me?" Said, "Ya Rasulullah, I love you." The Prophet said, "Do you love me more than your parents?" Said, "Ya Rasulullah, I love you more than my parents." The Prophet said, "Do you love me more than your brothers?" He said, "I love you more than my brothers." He said, "Do you love me more than your life?" And he said, "Wallah, I love you more than my life." Then the Prophet asked him, "Do you love me more than Allah?" And the young man replied, "Ya Rasulullah, the reason why I love you is because of Allah. The reason why I love you is because of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I love you more than my parents, I love you more than my brothers, I love you more than my life, is because of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that dictates to me that I love the Prophet more than anything else." Right? Have we started loving the Prophet for the sake of Allah? Do we love Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam for the sake of Allah? Your faces are showing me that you're looking for that topic that I'm going to speak on, right? You're still wondering. We're taking you towards that direction, right? Because once a speaker comes and speaks and goes away, you know, after the next day or the day after, if you ask somebody, "What did the speaker talk about?" What does generally people end up saying? It's okay. अगर पूछे ना वसन मजलिस होती है मजलिस के अंदर बड़ा वावा और नारे सब होते हैं मजलिस जब खत्म हुई तो आग सब बाहर निकले किसी दूसरे आगा ने उनसे पूछा आगा मौलाना ने क्या कहा उनका पता नहीं क्या कहा लेकिन मजलिस बहुत अच्छी पड़ी यानी मज़ा बहुत आया और ये एक अजीब है हमारे दरमियान में कि अगर आप किसी शख्स को बताएं कि हम इमाम हुसैन की शहादत को मना रहे हैं हम कूफा और शाम के मसाइब और वो रसूल की बेटियों के साथ जो हुआ उसको याद कर रहे हैं और उसको याद करके हमें बड़ा मज़ा आता है वो शख्स क्या समझेगा क्योंकि कोई शख्स जनाजे में जाए वापस आए और कहे कि बड़ा मजा आया मजलिस आज़ा मजा लेने की जगह नहीं मजलिस आज़ा से इंसान जो लेकर उठे वो एक नरम दिल है वो नरम दिल जो उसको खुदा तक लेकर जाए अगर मजलिस फर्श अज़ा से इंसान सख्त दिल के आए और वापस चला जाए उसने इमाम हुसैन की अज़ा अभी नहीं की जो ज़हन की अय्याशी के लिए आए एक मजलिस अज़ा के अंदर उसने अभी तक अज़ा नहीं की तो जो मौजू है उस तक आपको लेके जाते हैं Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of his creations and connected them only for one purpose. In this entire universe, or the multiverse. Right? You're familiar with multiverse theories nowadays? The cutting edge physics theories? No? The string theory, it's also called the M theory. We have a particular verse that we recite all the time, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise and glory belongs to Allah, who is the Lord of the universes. Not universe, universes. Meaning multiverses. Right? We know of that. All, even the universe or the multiverse, the one who is raising them, who is the Lord of them, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all that he has created is only for one purpose, and that is that everything has to go towards one end and one purpose, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So how many purposes do we have? You say, well, you know, when you're young, just, what do you want to do? It's like, I want to be an engineer. So what is that? Your purpose. I want to be a doctor, I want to be a... What? I don't think when we were young, nobody ever said IT professional, but we became one. Right? Majority of us said doctor, lawyer, I don't know about lawyer, but engineers, right? Pilots, right? Things like that. Right? Things that we got aspired by. And then when we went through university, saying, okay, what else is your purpose in life now that you have the degrees to get married? Right? It was in the old days, even if you didn't have a degree, people still used to give you their daughter. But in today's time, people don't really give their daughters unless you show them a piece of paper that you have a degree or you have a certain amount of bank balance. So by that time, you're anyways 30, 35 years old. Next purpose in life is marriage. So, okay, you got married. What's the next goal? To have children. What's the next goal? To raise them. And for them to become what? Of course, lawyers. Of course, doctors. Of course, engineers. Right? And majority of us, you know, we want all of our kids to become doctors. Right? Somehow back home, everybody's dream was, and so was my mother, that I become a doctor. And she was very motivated because when she saw my handwriting, she said that I'm going to become a doctor, right? Because of my handwriting. Everybody, you know, wanted to be a doctor, and there was a person giving the speech, and he said, why is it that all of us want to become doctors? You know, there's other professions as well. And he gave a long speech. He came out of the podium, and somebody asked, how many kids do you have? He said, mashallah, four sons. He said, what do? They're all, mashallah, doctors. Right? So in reality, okay, so they become doctors, they become lawyers, and then what? They get married. Then what's the next purpose in life? That you have grandkids. Right? And the cycle goes on, and the cycle never ends. And all of this cycle is based on is the purpose of those things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create us for. You and I were not created to become doctors, lawyers, IT professionals, and so forth. We were created to become the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the face of this earth. And whatever he has created is means towards that end of becoming the representative of Allah on the face of this earth, where your end is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the goal of the whole of the creation. Whenever human beings go away from this goal, away from this direction, there's only stress and depression. You'll never find sukoon. Itminan insan ko tab tak nahi milega jab uski zindagi ka jab tak uski zindagi ka hadaf Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nahi hota. Jab tak khuda ki zaat uska hadaf nahi hai, wo hamesha pareshan rahega, hamesha wo stress mein rahega, hamesha wo na khush rahega, hamesha usko wo mushkilat ka samna karna padega ki jisko ke wo avoid kar sakta tha agar apna maula wo khuda rakh leta. جس کا مولا خدا ہو اس کے سامنے ساری دنیا کے مصائب آ جائیں Imam Hussein ke paas Hazrat Ali Asghar haath mein. फॉर्मूला का तीर लगा हुआ, खून निकल रहा, एक 6 माह का बच्चा है बाप के हाथ, मुश्किल वक्त, मुश्किल वक्त। लेकिन इमाम हुसैन क्या कहते हैं, खुदा है मेरे लिए ये भी आसान है क्योंकि तू मुझे देख रहा है। करबला की बुनियाद खुदा की मोहब्बत है। करबला जिस पे तामीर हुआ है, जो बुनियाद है वो खुदा की मोहब्बत है। द फाउंडेशन ऑफ करबला अपॉन विच इट वॉज बिल्ट बाई द पीपल ऑफ करबला इज द लव ऑफ अल्लाह सुब्हानहू व तआला। इफ वी गो थ्रू द अज़ा ऑफ इमाम हुसैन अलैहिस्सलाम एंड वी डू नॉट गेट मोर क्लोजर टू अल्लाह सुब्हानहू व तआला, वी आर डूइंग समथिंग रॉन्ग। So what is the purpose? The purpose is the end has to be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The whole universe is going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this statement that our respected brother has said, qurbatan ilallah, right? So now just, so far you are with me that your end is Allah. The rest is all means. With me? So now let's just track back to what I have said so far and then we'll move forward. Your wife is not a hadaf. She's not the end. She's not the purpose. To get married is not the purpose of life. Marriage is a means. Your house is not a purpose. It's not the end. It's not your goal. It is a means. Your car is a mean. Your money is means. Your health is means. Every single thing that you own or you want is a means, and the end is only one, and the goal is only one, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If those means are taking you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, definitely they are blessings. But if they are taking you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reason why they are taking you away is because you've made them as your goals. And in reality, between a mu'min, between a believer and a non-believer, the difference is such that a mu'min sees all of this universe as means towards Allah, and an unbeliever sees the universe as his end. That's the difference. So now with this understanding, you can still become a doctor. You can still become a lawyer. You can still become an engineer. You can still be an IT professional. You can still become a pharmacist, you can still be a chemist, you can still be a physician, right? Physicist, you can study astronomy, you can study anything that you want, because all of the knowledge that exists is means to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Chemistry, if you study as means towards Allah, is the knowledge of Allah, not chemistry. If you study physics to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not physics, it is the knowledge that will take you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. E equals to MC squared, right? It is part of the laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Human beings try to discover those laws so that they can get what? What? So far away from Allah. That the person who becomes very much knowledgeable, right? There's a person who, I'm not going to mention his name, but I think your minds will go towards it, who is one of the in physics, in mathematics, in all of that, is the top scientist. And after getting all of this knowledge, what does he say? That there is no God. So did that knowing the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of physics, of chemistry, and of all of that, did that person get close to Allah? No. But got to the point where it denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? So you can still be all of that. Just take those as means that take you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So far with me? Some of you are getting sleepy. So, अच्छा ये तो हो गई अब दुनिया की बात, ठीक है? اب دین کی طرف آتے ہیں. اور دنیا کیا اور دین کیا ہے, یہ بھی ایک ایسی چیز ہے جو ہمیشہ جو دیندار ہیں وہ کنفیوز رہے ہیں. جو دیندار نہیں ہیں ان کو کنفیوژن نہیں ہے, ان کے لیے تو صرف دنیا ہے. جو دیندار ہوتے ہیں وہ کنفیوز ہو جاتے ہیں کہ دین کیا اور دنیا کیا ہے. اور شروع سے یہ جنگ جاری ہے, اور یہ لکیر اور یہ بارڈر جو ہے وہ بنایا جاتا ہے. یلو لائن ہوتی ہے, آپ نے دیکھی ہوئی, وہ یلو لائن کھینچ دیتے ہیں, کہتے ہیں کہ یہ کینیڈا ہے اور یہ امریکہ ہے. ایک یلو لائن کھینچ کے کہہ دیتے ہیں یہ کینیڈا ہے اور یہ امریکہ ہے. یہ لائن کراس کرو گے تو کینیڈا میں چلے جاؤ گے, لائن کراس کرو گے تو امریکہ میں آ جاؤ گے. زمین کس کی ہے؟ خدا کی. اس پہ یلو لائن کھینچ کے کوئی فرق نہیں پڑ جاتا. اسی طرح سے انسان نے دین اور دنیا میں یہ یلو لائن بنا دی ہے. یہ خدا کی بنائی ہوئی نہیں ہے, یہ خدا کی بنائی ہوئی نہیں ہے. یہ یلو لائن, یہ بارڈر ہم نے خود بنایا اور کہتے ہیں یہ دین ہے اور یہ دنیا. حقیقت یہ ہے کہ سب دین ہے, سب کا سب دین ہے. آپ کی زندگی کرنے کا طریقہ, آپ کا پروفیشن, آپ کا شادی کرنا, بچے ہونا, بچوں کے بچے ہونا, کھانا کھانا, بولنا, چلنا, پھرنا, تفریح, ہر ایک چیز جو آپ کی زندگی کے ساتھ منسلک ہے وہ دنیا نہیں بلکہ کیا ہے؟ دین ہے. اور عین دین ہے, عین دین ہے, عین عبادت ہے. لیکن اگر انسان ادھر یلو لائن کھینچ دے, ہاں تو پھر کھانا عبادت نہیں ہے, پھر ایک دنیاوی کام ہے. پھر شادی ایک دنیاوی کام ہے, بچے ایک دنیاوی کام ہے, جاب ایک دنیاوی کام ہے. But if you do not put that yellow line, everything that you're going to do, it is religion, it is part of religion. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent 124,000 prophets for us to know that with the 14 successors, 12 successors, 14 masumin alayhi salam, showing us practically in their life that every single thing that we have done is actually the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our business was worship. Our marriage was worship. Every single thing that we did was worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ٹھیک ہے, تو let's come towards religion now. What is namaz, the end or means? What is fasting, end or mean? What is hajj? Okay, so you know what I'm saying. Every single thing that we have in our furu'e deen is what? Means. It is not the end. The people who make namaz as their end, have you seen those? Yeah, I've seen many. What is their end? They have to pray. So once they've accomplished their end, what happens? Nothing. That's it. They've already reached their destination, and their destination was to pray namaz. That was their goal. And they're very much satisfied afterwards. They feel very relieved. I've seen those people. It is as if they are carrying a huge, massive burden. Right? And then when Zuhr comes, they take this burden and they feel very good. Right? Dekha aapne? Aisa hota hai na? Ki Zuhr ki namaz padh liya, sukoon aa gaya. Usse pehle kya hai? Ek bojh uthaya ho. مغرب کی پڑھ لی, سکون آ گیا. ایسے ایک بوجھ اتارا. یہ جو فیلنگ ہے یہ اس وجہ سے ہے کہ ہم نے نماز کو وسیلہ نہیں سمجھا ابھی تک, ہم اس کو ہدف سمجھ رہے ہیں. کیونکہ ہم نے یہ نماز پڑھ لی, ہم نے ہدف کو پا لیا, ہم نے بوجھ کو اتار دیا, سو دیر فور وی ریچ ویئر وی آر سپوز ٹو. حقیقت میں نماز کیا ہے؟ ایک قربانی ہے ہر مومن کی. قربانی یہ نہیں کہ اچھا ٹائم سیکریفائس کیا ہے, اٹس ناٹ دیٹ. قربانی از دا ویکل دا ٹیکس یو ٹوورڈز اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی. قربانی از فرام قرب, نیئرنیس. سو ان ریالٹی ایوری صلاح, ایوری نماز آف اے مومن از دا ویکل دا ٹیکس ہم اور ہر ٹوورڈز اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی. اینڈ انٹل دے ہیو ریچڈ اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی, دے آر ناٹ سیٹسفائیڈ ود دا پریئرز دیٹ دے ڈو. Until and unless in that prayer they reach their conscious mind and subconscious reaches towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they're not happy. just because they've prayed. And you find those individuals who continue praying, who have made this as their goal, you find in them qualities that a person who prays should never have. Can a person who prays namaz be arrogant? They can't. So many times they have to say, Allahu Akbar. God is great. When you're saying Allahu Akbar, everything is nothing. Only Allah is great. So where is it? How can you have arrogance? When you sing Allahu Akbar, Allah is Akbar, then everything else is Asghar. So are you. How can somebody who says Alhamdulillah, all praise, glory belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that when people praise, that person becomes happy? Well, you reminded yourself so many times during the day that all praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if anyone is praising you, in reality is the praise of Allah, there is no need for arrogance. You put your forehead on dirt. Where is the arrogance? In the position, in the sijda that you are in, how can you be arrogant? How can a person be arrogant who has done one sijda in front of Allah? How? We had the place where I'm at, had about 600 kids come over in that center, and we had to tell them about Islam. So I asked them a few questions. One of them was, have you ever seen someone pray? And they said, no. So I went in ruku in front of them. I said, what do you think my body language says? میں رکوع میں چلا گیا اور ان سے میں نے پوچھا کہ جو میں ابھی کر رہا ہوں اس عمل کو آپ کیا سمجھتے ہیں آپ کو میری جو باڈی لینگویج ہے وہ آپ کو کیا بتا رہی تو انہوں نے کہا ہیومیلٹی رکوع نا آپ جھک جاتے ہیں ان کا ہیومیلٹی ہمبلنس پھر میں سجدے میں چلا گیا مائک لگا ہوتا ہے ایسے ہی میں ان سے پوچھا اب تو کہتے ہیں ایز اف یو آر نتھنگ When I went in sijda, they said, it is as if you are nothing. And it has happened many times when I would take my head away from the sijda and I would look at the crowd, at least one or two people would have tears in their eyes. Just seeing the lowliness of my body language when I went in sijda. How can a person who prays namaz can be arrogant? And you find that majority of the people who actually do pray namaz, who come close to a religion, they become narrow-minded and arrogant. And they treat others that way, as if they are better than them. Right? So, what is namaz? Is means. Fasting is means. Hajj is means. All of this is means towards that one end, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So far with me? What about Asulaji? What about Tawheed? What about the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala laysa kamithlihi shay, that there is nothing that is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What about the ideology of Tawheed? What is that? Means or an end? In Tawheed Nazri, it is means. In Tawheed Amali, it is the end. With me? In theory, it is means. In practicality, it is the end. With me? The theory that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, that there is no else than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you go through the logical arguments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if there were two gods, would you not see destruction and imbalance in the universe, you do not see that, so therefore there is one God. You go through these ideological, logical precedents and things you learn from the books and you get guided. All of this is means. There are Jews and Christians who are teaching Tawheed in universities. They teach Islam in universities. You don't have that in UK. That the world religions are being taught by those individuals and they know more about Tawheed than you and I. But knowing Tawheed more than you and I, did they become Muslims? Did they stop being a polytheist? No. They continue. Why? Because in reality, the theory, the ideology of Tawheed is means. They did not use that means to get to the practical point of Tawheed, which is, and is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take it. It's the same thing with Nabuwwat. It's means or end? It's means. With me. You believe, you say, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So, yahan pe mere khayal se zyada garmi na kijiyega next time. Thodi thand rakhega taaki momineen jo hain wo bedar rahe. Jo to tauheed hai. اور کوئی مشکل نہیں ہے آپ سوچ سکتے ہیں میری طرف سے پوری اجازت ہے کیونکہ میری آواز ایسی ہے کہ وہ ہپنوٹائز کر دیتی بندے کو اسے نیند آ جاتی ہے لیکن مسئلہ یہ ہوتا ہے کہ اگر آپ کو نیند آ گئی تو پھر آپ جاگیں گے مختلف آپ بدل جائیں گے سب کانشیسلی وہ سیڈز آپ کے ذہن میں چلے جائیں گے یو بیکم اے ڈفرنٹ پرسن سو اف یو ڈونٹ وانٹ ٹو چینج یو ڈونٹ گو ٹو سلیپ بیکاز اف یو ڈونٹ گو ٹو سلیپ دین یو اینڈ اپ چینجنگ اینڈ چینج Everybody is afraid of. It's the one thing that we are very much afraid of, right? So don't go to sleep, right? So in reality, Tawheed, we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. In Nabuwat, we say, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. In Imamat, we say, Ashhadu anna Aliun Waliullah, right? And we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring us on one day that is going to judge among us as He judged among us in this world with justice. He hasn't judged us on His justice yet. If He did, nobody would be alive. On the Day of Judgment, He will judge us. It will be judged on His mercy and justice. And all that is around us is based on the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? Everything has its place where it's supposed to be. So all of this is actually means as ideology, but in practicality, they all take you towards one end, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ठीक है? आपने कभी ऐसा शख्स देखा है जो काफिर भी और मुसलमान भी हो? नहीं, हिपोक्रेट तो और चीज होती है. कभी देखा है काफिर भी और मुसलमान भी हो? वो आपको बता देते हैं कि वो नॉर्दर्न एरियाज में जब जबरदस्त ठंड पड़ती है तो उसको कहते हैं काफिर सर्दी. اگر کوئی شخص اچھی چائے بنا دیتا ہے تو وہ کہتے ہیں کافر چائے ہے. اور اگر کوئی مسلمان اچھا بہت اسلام پہ عمل کرتا ہے تو کہتے ہیں کافر مسلمان ہے. تو ٹو شو دی انٹینسٹی آف دیٹ پرسنز اوبیڈینس دے یوز دا ورڈ رائٹ. اے پرسن ہو ڈز سم تھنگ فار ادر دین فار دا سیک آف اللہ سبحانہ وتعالیٰ آل دو دے آر بورن ان اے مسلم فیملی بٹ اف دے شو آف فار دا سیک آف ادرس That person is a polytheist. Ri'a is shirk. If I read this majlis for your sake, I'm being a polytheist. I was supposed to read it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no one else. Right? But if I don't do that, then I am a Muslim, but on the same, I'm also somebody who's submitting to someone else other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? So in reality, when you start looking at the practical implementation and implications of your Asool-e-Deen, you will realize that all the theory is means, and actually the practicality of the end is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now let's look at akhlaq. As akhlaq a means or an end? Akhlaq is the study of khulq. Khulq is your soul. Akhlaq is a study of the human soul's behavior, illnesses, and wellness. What was it? The study of the human soul's behavior, illnesses, and wellness. Just as you go to a psychiatrist, they don't really look at human behavior. They look at the animal behavior, and therefore they prescribe you medicines. In reality, your essence, the closest thing to you is your soul. And the health of that soul is the most important thing. More than your health of the body. Okay. So in reality, the health of your soul is also the means. Because a healthy soul, what did they say? A healthy body. No, there's something that you guys say all the time. A healthy body, a healthy mind. Right? Healthy body, a healthy mind. I've seen healthy people, but their mind doesn't seem very healthy. Like, I've seen really healthy, healthy people, but their mind is not very healthy. It's corrupted. It's sick. It's ill. Right? The illness of the soul is ghibat. A soul that does ghibat is an ill soul. Sick. Lying is a disease, which is contagious. It's very contagious. And we probably got this disease in a very young age. Remember when the phone would ring and the dad would pick up the phone? Right? And they would talk. And then the phone would ring and he would say, I'm not going to pick up, you pick up. And then you would pick up the phone and your dad would say, tell this person I'm not home. Right? And then at that time, that disease translated from the dad's soul into the soul of that child. And that child learned to lie. And in their life, they continue that way. So lying in actuality is an illness. Tale-telling is an illness. Arrogance is illness. Jealousy is an illness, which we do not put too much importance on. But if somebody comes to you, a doctor says to you, you have cancer and you're going to die in 2 weeks, you become afraid. Oh my God. Alhamdulillah, the cancer is going to finish in 2 weeks. No? You look at the bright side. Look at the silver lining. That if the doctor tells you that you have cancer and you have 2 weeks to live, after 2 weeks, your cancer is going to finish because you're going to finish. But if my soul is ill with, lying, with backbiting, غیبت سے, کبر سے, حسد سے, اگر میری روح بیمار ہے, تو وہ مرنے کے بعد بھی وہ بیماری جائے گی نہیں. وہ میرے ساتھ تا ابد رہے گی یا اس وقت تک رہے گی جب تک کہ جہنم کی آگ اس بیماری کو صاف نہ کر دے. جب تک جہنم کی آگ اس بیماری کو صاف نہیں کرے گی میں جنت میں نہیں جا سکتا. ایک حسود جنت میں داخل نہیں ہو سکتا. ایک جھوٹا جنت میں نہیں جا سکتا. ایک غیبت کرنے والا جنت میں نہیں جا سکتا. ایک بیمار روح جنت میں نہیں جا سکتی. جو ارواح, جو لوگ جنت میں جائیں گے, ان کی روح بھی پاک, ان کے قلب بھی پاک, توجہ بھی پاک, ان کے اندر جو نور ہوگا وہ ہر کسی کو بتائے گا روز معاشر میں کہ یہ شخص وہ ہے جو بیمار نہیں. جو بیمار لوگ ہوں گے ان کی شکلیں اور ہوں گی, ان کو تو ماں بھی نہیں پہچانے. ماں بھاگ جائے گی, یہ کون ہے, بھائی نہیں پہچانے. جس کو غصہ آتا ہے اس کی برزخ میں جو شکل ہے, the person who gets angry in the purgatory, their shape is of a dog. The person who likes to hurt other people, their shape in purgatory is of a snake. The person who likes to steal, their shape is of a mouse. First, let's look at our shapes in purgatory. Would anybody recognize you and I? They won't. And this reality is going to be shown to us when we cannot do anything to change that reality. So right now, you and I can shape, make a shape of ourselves of how we're going to look in purgatory, in barzakh. We can make that shape. I know what my habits are. Make it. So the topic that we're going to be discussing is going to be the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. So all of this that we have discussed for you today is to get you to the point that if religion we practice and we do not have the love of Allah, we have not gotten to our end. Because every single thing that we do in religion is actually by saying with the intention of qurbatan ilallah. Qurbatan ilallah means that I perform this act of worship so I can get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and qurb is love. So basically, this is another way of looking at it. You say, you do your namaz with the intention that I am doing this namaz with the intention to fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm doing this fast so that I can fall in love with Allah. I'm going for hajj so I can fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you do every single thing, amr bin maruf and in munkar, you give your khums, you do your tawalla and tabarra. You do all of that so that you can fall in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I can fall in love with Allah. And if we still haven't fallen in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we need to look back. We need to look back at our prayers. We need to look back at our fasting and everything else that we are doing. Because we're not getting to that end. Right? What is the azar of Imam Hussain? Means or an end? It's means. The azar of Imam Hussain as-salam is means towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like with everything else, the oceans, the stars, the planets, the mountains, the earth, and every single sign of Allah is means towards Him. Such is the azah of Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam, that it is a means towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it happens to be one of the best means. It has the potential and the ability to take you close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a manner that is very fast. It's very, very fast. There was a person, his name is Sheikh Ansarian, he's a very famous orator. He said, one day I went to the majlis of Imam Hussain and I did not wear my uniform. So I entered into it, I saw two people talking with each other, and one of them was saying to the other that last year in the majlis of Imam Hussain, I changed. I had 14 years of qada prayers, I was able to accomplish that in that year. So last year, he changed, and the next year in Muharram, he's talking about that. He said, I had 12 years of fasting, which I was able to accomplish 11 years of it. In 1 month, I fasted for the month of my Ramadan. So inshallah, I will fast later on. In one majlis of Imam Hussain, this person traveled a distance that would have taken him maybe years, or maybe he would have never traveled. Because the tears that we shed are the means for our hearts to become soft, and once your heart becomes soft, the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can shine on it. The words of the Prophet can have an effect on it. The words of Imam Hussain can have an effect on it. But if your heart does not get soft, then no matter if Quran is recited, no matter if the angels come down, there will be no effect on your heart. And the sacrifice of Imam Hussain is such that can melt the hearts of even the toughest ones. I know of a person who in prison heard the story of Hazrat Ali Asghar. And when he was describing it to me, he said, when I heard the story of Hazrat Ali Asghar, I cried in my life as if I had never cried before. And he at that time was a Christian. Not a Muslim. He at the time was a Christian. He heard about the story of a 6-month baby that was thirsty for 3 days, that had blisters on the tongue, the lips were cut, the eyes had gone inside, the skin was pale. A 6-month child is a very fragile, it's like a flower. And a mother, jab bachcha rota hai na to maa ka dil us waqt tak sukoon mein nahi aata jab tak bachcha chup na kar jaye. Khuda ne fitrat mein unki tabiyat mein is cheez ko dala hai ke maa ka dil mustarib rahega jab tak bachcha ro raha hai. Maa koshish ye karti hai ki apne bachche ko jis tarah se ho chup karwaye. Aap zara us taraf maa apne dil ko leke jaye, us maa ki dil ki taraf, कि जिसका 6 माह का बच्चा है और उसके पास कुछ नहीं है कि अपने बच्चे को दे दे कि वो चुप कर जाए. कहता उसके बच्चे के पास अब ताकत नहीं रही कि वो रोए, आंसू खुश्क हो चुके. उस माँ के दिल को जरा दर्क करने की कोशिश करें कि उस माँ के दिल पे क्या बीतती थी. कि जब हज़रत अली असगर को इमाम हुसैन ने अपने बाजुओं में लिया है और आदा की तरफ वो गए, तो आदा के दिल के पत्थर से ज़्यादा सख्त थे, कि जिन्होंने जिनके दिल के अंदर कोई एक नर्म गोशा नहीं था. जब हज़रत अली असगर को देखा है तो आदा में से कुछ लोग रोने लगे. हज़रत अली असगर की वो हालत थी जिससे कि पत्थर से पत्थर दिल भी नरम होने लगे. और इमाम हुसैन हज़रत अली असगर को लेकर आए थे. ये देखें करीम ख़ानदान की, आपको मैं बात बता रहा हूँ कितना करीम ख़ानदान है, कि हज़रत अली असगर को लेकर आए कि शायद हज़रत अली असगर वसीला बन जाए किसी के लिए कि वो मेरे से दुश्मनी को छोड़ दें. कि अगर तुम्हें दुश्मनी मेरे साथ है, लेकिन इस बच्चे का क्या कसूर है, इस बच्चे ने क्या किया, ये प्यासा बच्चा इसने क्या किया है. फरमला से कहा गया कि हुसैन की जबान को कत कर दो. ये हजरत अली असगर की छोटी सी जबान इमाम वक्त की जबान बनी. अजीब है, एक बेजुबान जो बोल नहीं सकता उसकी जबान इमाम वक्त की जबान बन जाए. हुरमला से कहा, हुरमला का जो तीर है, आपके तसव्वुर के अंदर कभी उस तीर को लेकर आए और एक 6 माह के बच्चे की गर्दन. आप मेरे बच्चे जब भी उस में आते थे ना 6 माह के, तो मैं उनकी तरफ दिखा निगाह करता कि मेरे तसव्वुर में उनकी वो शक्ल, वो बच्चा, ये बड़े हो जाएंगे फिर मुझे याद नहीं रहेगा. हज़रत अली असगर जब 6 माह, जब आप उनके हाथ को पकड़ें, रुई की तरह छोटे छोटे हाथ होते, फूलों की तरह गोश्त होता, हुरमला का तीर जो कि जानवरों को नहर करने के लिए बनाया गया था, एक छोटी सी नन्ही सी गर्दन, हुरमला से कहा कि इस तीर को चलाओ. उसे तीर चलाया नहीं जा रहा था. कहता है कि खेमों की तरफ मुझे खेमे का डर जो है वो हिलता नजर आता, मुझे लग रहा है कि माँ देख रही है. इस तीर को फजा में ये तीर जा रहा है, इमाम हुसैन की गोद में हजरत अली असगर है, ये तीर हजरत अली असगर की गर्दन को काट के इमाम हुसैन के शाने में लग जाता. ये तस्वुर कभी नहीं आ सकता. अगर किसी के जहन में ये तस्वुर आ जाए, वो बाकी की जिंदगी कभी हंस नहीं सकता. एक 6 माह के बच्चे का ये तस्वुर अगर किसी को आ जाए और उसका बूढ़ा बाप हो, اس کو تصور میں لانے کے لیے امام حسین نے کہا کہ علی اصغر میرے ہاتھوں میں اس طرح سے تڑپ رہا تھا جس طرح سے ایک مچھلی پانی کے باہر تڑپ تھا. مچھلی جب پانی سے باہر ہوتی ہے اس کا پورا وجود ہلتا ہے, وہ سانس لینے کی کوشش کرتی ہے, کبھی اس کا منہ کھلتا ہے کبھی بند. جیسے گلے میں کوئی چیز لگی ہوئی ہو. امام زمان نے سلام بھیجا ہے ان سفید بالوں پہ جو حضرت علی اصغر کے خون سے رنگے گئے. امام زمان نے سلام بھیجا زیارت ناحیہ کے اندر, اور امام حسین نے اس وقت اپنے شیعوں کو یاد کیا اور امام سجاد سے کہا کہ میرے شیعوں کو بتانا, سلام دینا ان کو اور کہنا کہ جب علی اصغر میرے ہاتھوں میں تھا میں نے ان کو بڑا یاد کیا. یہ حضرت علی اصغر کی اب لاش اور امام وقت لے کے جا رہا ہے خیمے کی طرف. آپ نے روزے عاشور اس عمل کو انجام دیا. اس کائنات کے اندر امام وقت کبھی متحیر نہیں ہوتا, کبھی وہ متحیر نہیں ہوتا. یہ وہ وقت ہے کہ جب امام آگے جاتے لے کے جاؤں پھر پیچھے آ جاتے, آگے جاتے لے کے جاؤں پھر پیچھے آ جاتے. کیا کہتے ہیں, انا للہ و انا الیہ راجعون, رضاً بقضائہ و تسلیماً لامرہ. We're all of Allah, we have to go back to him. I accept his decree and I submit to his orders. اب اللہ سبحانہ تعالی نے جو امام حسین کو الہام کیا کہ بچے کو لے جاؤ. اب یہ جو حضرت امام حسین جب لے کر آئے نا, تو سب سے زیادہ غریب جنازہ جو ہے نا دنیا کا, ماں ہے باپ ہے اور دونوں دفنا رہے اپنے 6 ماہ کے بچے کو جس کی گردن جو ہے وہ چھلی ہوئی. باپ اپنے ہاتھ سے قبر کھود رہا ہے, کوئی اور نہیں کھود رہا, باپ کھود رہا ہے, ماں کھڑی ہے اور چھوٹے سے بچے کی لحد کو بنا رہے. اس سے زیادہ غریب جنازہ آپ مجھے بتائیں دنیا میں. ٹھیک ہے, بڑا چلا جاتا ہے, بزرگ چلا جاتا ہے, اس کا جنازہ ہوتا ہے. 1-6 ماہ کا بچہ, 3 دن کا پیاسا, گردن چھیدی ہوئی ہے اور لحد کیوں بنا رہے ہیں؟ لحد کیوں بنا رہے ہیں کہ جب شہید کر دیے جائیں گے علی اصغر کی لاش کسی کو ملے نہ, علی اصغر کی لاش کسی کو نہ ملے. خدایا یہ آدا تیرے آدا کتنا ان کا دل سخت تھا جب لاشوں کو گرنے لگے. سب کو حضرت علی اصغر یاد تھے, کہتے ہیں وہ چھوٹے بچے کی لاش کہاں ہے, حسین کے بچے کی لاش کہاں ہے. خدایا ہم تجھے حضرت علی اصغر کے کٹے ہوئے گلے کا واسطہ, اس کے ماں کے دل کا واسطہ دیتے ہیں. حسین نے وقت کو لیا, ماں چلیں حسین,